on page Kufiyut Tes, we're trying to apply to our lives the first words that Hashem Yisbarach said to Avraham Avinu, to our father, of Leich Lecha, and how that can affect everything in our lives, particularly as we're going to understand more as we move along, particularly the Midah of Simcha, to help us with the Midah of Simcha, to rise up above and to see things from the Hashkafa of greatness as opposed from the perspective of smallness, of kidness and shiftless and silliness. And that's what the entire Maimer is about. There are particular times in our lives, and certainly each week, Shabbos. We hear Rav Tzvi Meir talks about Shabbos a little bit, and particularly the time of Shel Teshuvos. Understandably, it's not easy, let's put it this way, it's not easy for women to feel the Shaychus to Shel Teshuvos, because they don't usually have that, Hishtatfus in the Beis Medrash, in the Shul, and the whole Inyan of Shel Teshuvos. Certainly, if it's possible to make Shel Teshuvos more meaningful, women, as you all know, are obligated to eat Shel Teshuvos. And if it's possible to make Shel Teshuvos something which is meaningful, if that's possible in any way, it certainly would be a wonderful thing, because the holiest time of Shabbos, the holiest time of the week, is that time between Mincha and Lariv. The time of Shel Teshuvos is the time of Raiva Deraiva, and it's the most powerful time for our tefillahs to be accepted, for us to feel a kesher to Hashem. So Reb Tzvi Meir talks about how in life, when we have these moments, these opportunities to see things from a perspective, from a hashkofa that's like we were talking about last week, seeing things in the airplane, when you notice how silly things look down below. So there are times in life and in the year, every yontiv in a certain way, each and every yontiv in a certain way, is a time to be able to stand on a mountain and to look at things a different way. So we're on page Kuf Yud Tes. We'll do quickly because we have to move into the Lamaisa here. But this is important because we have to learn to appreciate the special times, the Zmanim HaMekudoshim. So here he says, B'chol Shabbos Kodesh, on the left-hand column of page Kuf Yud Tes. B'chol Shabbos Kodesh, B'sholosh HaSudas, Me'ir M'lan HaKarech Shel HaAvos HaKadoshim. Now everybody knows that the three Seudas of Shabbos correspond to the three Avos. V'HaKarech Shel Sholosh HaRegolim, and the three Seudas of Shabbos also correspond to the three Yom Tovim, to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Shein, Neged, Gimel HaAvos HaKadoshim, which we know that the three Yom Tovim, we're not going to go into details now, which one of the Avos, which Yontiv, and which meal, that's not important for now. But each of the Avos corresponds to a certain yontiv, to one of the three Yom Tovim, and to one of the three meals of Shabbos. K'mo yishagilu lanu chazal hakadoshim b'tzadik ha'daris b'shol l'sudas shekhal l'kol ha'shol l'sudas. The Bnei Sfasar explained in other tzadikim, why is it to be called the third meal? Why do we call it shol l'sudas? Shalosh sudos. We should call it what? Grammatically, you should say sudas shlishas. It should be called Sudas Shlishas. How come Jews call it Shalosh Sudas? Shalosh Sudas. So the Bnei Sfas and other tzaddikim say that really the first meal, everybody's very, very hungry, Friday. Shabbos morning, it's also been a break. And there's a chayshik to eat. Usually Shalosh Sudas is when a person by that time has already had enough to eat, although it's hard to believe. Matzah Shabbos, how Baruch Hashem, the pizza shops and restaurants are so full. Maybe there's something missing at home, but when it comes to Shel Teshuvos, usually you don't really feel like eating so much. So the whole Indian of eating Shel Teshuvos is just the Makar Mitzvah Hashem. That's why Shel Teshuvos in America hasn't made it as big as it used to in Europe. And Malava Malkias already just became a fundraiser for many people. But Malava Malkias is a very, very beginning, obviously. And that's why it's called Shel Teshuvos, because really, the third meal is the meal that lifts up the other two. The third meal is the holiest, and that's why when a person is careful to eat Shel Teshuvos, at least to have a piece of challah and a little fish, Shel Teshuvos to try to have, that when you do that, you have the schar for all three meals, and you're really, really, you're really lifting up the earlier two meals, which in a certain way might be just part of indulging. But when a person is kaveya, when a person is strong with the mitzvah of Shel Teshuvos, So we know that there are many, many promises in Chazal. And you've all heard them. And so there are wonderful promises that are made by the Chachamim for a person who's careful with Shalosh Sudas. So when the third meal, really, it's called Shalosh Sudas because it's all three. It has the koyach of all three meals. Meir HaKoyach Shal Yaakov Avinu. Everybody loves Yaakov Avinu, right? So it's good to be careful Shalosh Sudas, because if you're not, then it means you don't love Yaakov Avinu the way that you should. The third meal, Shalosh Sudas, is Yaakov Avinu's Suda. It's the third midah of emes, of teferis, of harmony. There's so many good things that come from Shalosh Sudas. So the midah of Yaakov Avinu is shining during the third meal more than any other time of the week. The midah of Yaakov Avinu is during the third meal. Now everybody knows that the midah of Yaakov Avinu is emes, is teferis, which is blending or harmonizing the koach of Avram, which is chesed, and the koach of Yitzchak, which is din. Shalosh Sudas gives us the ability to behave during the week in a way that is balanced and healthy. Everything about Yaakov Avinu is health. Everything about Yaakov Avinu is equilibrium, emes. So that koyach of Yaakov Avinu joins together Avram and Yitzchak. Avram, of course, is the right side, which is chesed, which is gevaldik, ahava, but from that you can still have a yishmael when things get out of control. Yitzchak is the left side, which is din, self-control. It's also terrific, but there can come an ace of a murderer can come, chalila, from that type of an extreme behavior. Yaakov Avinu is the perfect blend, is tferes, and that's the third meal. V'akorach shal sukkis. Now the yontiv that corresponds to Yaakov is sukkis, which really, it says Beferish and Chumash. Where does it say? There's not such thing as a trivia thing when it comes to Torah. But where does it say in Chumash? What's the connection between Yaakov and Sukkot and Chumash? So Yaakov Nosa Sukkoyse, right? That's what it says. And it's a pasuk. Bechinas Yaakov Nosa Sukkoyse, which you don't have it so clearly spelled out. Even though Avraham Avinu is Pesach and Yitzchak Avinu is Shavuos, there are nice drashas about it. But by Yaakov Avinu it says he went to this place called Sukkos. V'echad ha'aris ha'miyuchadis ha'mihir m'sukkos. Now what is it that's special? We spoke a little bit about this last week. What is it that's special about the koich of Sukkos? What's the unique koich of Sukkos? Which is Yaakov Avinu. Hu ha'or shal tseimi diras keva v'shev b'diras aroi. Which he spoke a little bit about. The inyan of Sukkos is that a person is told on Sukkos to leave his permanent dwelling and to enter into a temporary dwelling. Now we understand Vuha or Shalach Lecha. That's exactly what we've been talking about, the Karach of Lech Lecha. Kamesh Yiskarna Mikadim Ez Hashem Ezbracha Or Lahargish Al Kol Hen Yonim Shenirim Keva. There's so many things that we get stuck in. That's called a diras keva. You know, someone could ask you, you know, why are you getting all upset about this? Like, what are you getting crazy? It's not such a, like, what is it? You're so particular. So, that's who I am. I always react this way. Ever since I can remember, when this happens this way, this is how I act. That's called a diras keva. A diras keva means that's your home. And you're comfortable in your home. That's why we've seen, and I mentioned this before, a terrible thing, statistically, and I'm a total Amaritz in this opinion, but just what I've been told, is that statistically, when there are difficulties, God forbid, in a home, chalila, even when there are severely dysfunctional homes, statistically, there seems to be a higher rate of recurrence, chas v'shalom, in the children of those families, to repeat the same opinion. Which al pisaychel, you would think that every single kid who never had to go through tzaras, that he would be makabel upon himself, upon herself, that this is never going to happen to me. I'm never going to let this happen to me. And yet there is such a metzias in the world, and we know this. It doesn't mean that anybody is doomed, God forbid, to repeat the mistakes of the last generation. But there's definitely an inclination to fall into that. Why? Because there's something very comfortable about home, even if it's wacky, even if it's crazy. It's what I know. And the same thing when it comes to midas and reacting and how we relate to people. Each and every one of us has grown up over all the years. We've established so many little homes. I have when it comes to the midah of kas, when it comes to the midah of gaiva, of tied to certain things. That's why dieting is such a hard thing. Dieting is a strong thing. Even the doctor says, listen, this is not good for you. It's not just a question of how you look. You want to look good, which is also a strong desire for a person to look good. But besides that, the doctor could say this is mamash bad for you. Or a person smokes or drinks chalila, something that's not good for him. The doctor says this is really, really bad for you. What are you going to say? But I live in that place. This is my home. I live in ice cream. I live in a layer cake. I live in this. This is what I live in. And you're telling me, and the doctor will say, the doctor might say to you, listen, you know what? Just stay away from this stuff for a year. And then gradually, maybe in the future, you could go back a little bit and have a piece of layer cake. In other words, say midiras keva, go away from your permanent home, and live in a temporary dwelling place, which is called what? No layer cake. Just temporarily. It's so hard. And even when the person goes out of that home, and they struggle temporarily without the layer cake, whatever it is, the kakash, whatever it is that you like, then sometimes they fall back into it. When they come home, it's like this tearful reunion. You can see them, like, you know, when they come back to the kakash, it's like, you know, I miss you so much, like, you know, so hard for me to live without you. And then chas v'shalom, they gain more weight, and it's worse than ever before, because it's a diras keva. This is where I live. So to be a Jew is sukkahs. The meaning of sukkahs is not just on sukkahs. Sukkahs gives you the koyach, as we learned last week with Omer Kehelis, that we read after the Yom Neroim, when we look at the world like from the airplane, right? If on Yom Kippur, you look at things. If somebody would come over to you by Hashem Elokim, by Hashem Elokim, you're saying seven times by Ne'ila Hashem Elokim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, and someone would say to you, are you still angry at that friend for whatever, some narishkeit? You would say 100%. No, what, am I crazy? It's the dumbest thing in the world, because at the moment when you're on the mountain or you're flying over the whole thing, you see it's silly. You see it's silly. Sukkos, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu lived in that way of sukkahs. Yaakov Nosa Sukkaisa means that Yaakov Avinu taught us and gave us the ability to see things in such a way, not to get stuck, not to have a kvias, not to be a balshita, like in something that this is the way it has to be, and there can't be any other way. You have people like that everything is with a shita, everything has to be, you know. And Yaakov taught us not to be that way. Say. Yaakov says, say me. There's okay, you like to do it that way. You don't have to do it that way. Say. Go out. Lech lecha. It's the most important thing to know. And we have that kirch from what? From Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu is what? Is Shalashudas. It's the third meal. Which is the holiest time of the week, when Hashem gives the Jew the ability to be flying over the world and to see how silly the little things are, that we get caught up, we get stuck in the kind of homes that we make for ourselves, these places that we get stuck in. That's what it says. To be able to see things the right way. Sukkos is the ability to see things in the right way. Are there pages left? I have more in the bungalow. I didn't. I have a whole stack. I don't know. There are more left?
No.
All right. Next time I should bring. I have more. I'll bring more. It's not stam. You know, all the jokes that a person makes, that I eat more on Shabbos, I have neshama yaseira, I have to have tukuls, I have to have one kugel, to have an extra neshama, which is true. The Rashi says, really, this, you know, it's good to have extra food Shabbos. What does it mean? It's a yom of the neshmasin. Shabbos is called yom of the neshmasin. It's the day of the neshama. One kuf you test, the left hand. Shabbos is yom of the neshmasin. It's a day of the neshama. What does it mean, it's the day of the neshama? Our neshama is with us every day. So we have an additional neshama Shabbos. What does it mean? It means, Chazal say in one place an amazing thing. It says that even in Am Haaretz, even a person who's not so careful with mitzvahs, that's what it means. It doesn't just mean someone who doesn't know. Someone who's not so careful, even in Am Haaretz, on Shabbos, he doesn't lie. That's, by the way, something which is nogeta halacha. It applies in halacha. The question of eating something, food, fruit, let's say, from a person who at the time, when we were zeicha, and we were chayiv from the Torah to take off proper maisach, from some maisach from the fruits. So there's a questionable, the din is that the fruits of someone who's namharitz, who is not learned, are always in a doubtful state whether we could eat from them. But if a person even Amaris tells you, no, I took off Trumas and Mises, Shabbos you could trust him. Says in the Yerushalmi, Shabbos you could trust him. Why? The whole week, you know, I don't know. He's not 100% trustworthy. But Shabbos, why? He says that a Jew wouldn't lie on Shabbos. Can't be. A Jew wouldn't lie on Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is Yom HaNishmasim means that on Shabbos, we know what's right. And Shabbos, not just that we know what's right. And Shabbos we lift it up to the place of Yaakov Avinu, which is Emes, and it means that I understand that it's silly to make up stories. It's silly. That's what it means to Yom HaNishmasim. On Shabbos the neshama is stronger. If a person lives Shabbos the right way, obviously you're going to spend Shabbos reading a novel and sleeping the whole Shabbos. So then Shabbos is very little different from Shabbos to the rest of the week. It could be even more of more physical than the rest of the week. But if a person lives Shabbos the right way, then a person begins to feel that what's the most important thing in my life? My neshama. What's the most important thing in my life is my ruchnius. Now every week when Shabbos ends, it's called the time of Yitzias Neshama. That extra soulfulness, that extra ingredient of clarity that's on Shabbos. When Shabbos leaves, it's a certain death that takes place. We die in a certain way. That death means that extra soulfulness, that added ability to see what's real, to see what's important. When Shabbos leaves, that slips away. Right before the neshama of a person leaves, right before the soul of a person leaves, he knows what's important. I mean, hopefully. You could play the game your whole life, and you can make believe this is important, that's important, and you can set up all these kriyas, dikkur places in your life. But when a person's neshama is leaving, so then he understands what's important, what's right, what's real. So every single Shabbos, by the third meal, as Shabbos is leaving, it's a certain bechina on some level. There's an inyan of yitzias haneshama, and when the neshama is leaving, it hurts. It hurts. We in America, it's very hard to relate to that because Baruch Hashem, for many good reasons, that we have that our Sundays and Mondays are much better than our grandparents' Sundays and Mondays, right? So it's much harder for us. But the emes is that we should feel it also. We should try to feel this. Every single Motzei Shabbos, when Shabbos is leaving, a person can feel a little bit sukkis, a little bit how this whole world is temporary. Had to let go of the silly things, to let go, not to hold on so tightly to the what, to the silliness, to the small things. Because it's a time of Yitzias Neshama. It's a time when your neshama is leaving. It's a time when you're experiencing some level of dying. And when a person dies, what's he going to go? The last second, I remember I was once visiting somebody in the hospital. I think I mentioned this a few years ago to you. I was visiting with a friend of mine, somebody in the hospital. And there were two beds in the room. And we were visiting this very special old Jew. And on the next bed in the room, there was a person who was not Jewish, and he was already more than 1 foot out of the world. He was like at the end of the line. And he was all upset, screaming and yelling, because he said that he had a $5 bill on his night table. And someone took my $5 bill. I want that nurse. I'll kill you. I'm screaming. So I was thinking, it's so sad. Like, you know, what are you going to, like a mall or something? What do you think? What are you worried about? $5? Or if it's $5,000? What's the Indian? You know, the person already understood that it was a matter of moments, a matter of an hour, and still to remain stuck in a small place, or to be, God forbid, an older person and that the older years haven't brought you to a place where you begin to let go of the silliness of the narishkeit. Sometimes you see an old person that tries to make believe that he's a young person, that she's a young person, and tries to dress a certain way and act a certain way and is still holding on to the narishkeit. I'm not talking about that somebody that, God forbid, is not well. If a person is not well, that's not. I'm talking about someone that thank God has full control of all the kaiches ha-guf, and still not to b'shas yitzias ha-neshama, when the neshama is leaving. As the neshama is leaving, a person begins to think, gevalt, you know, what's important? So every single shalashu, this a person can, in some way, can draw from that light of Yaakov Avinu, of Yaakov Nasa Sukaisa, to go out of your permanent dwelling. Stop being stuck in the same silliness that you were stuck in during the week. Get out of that house, that diras keva, that permanent way of reacting, that permanent way of talking, the permanent way of reacting to people, that and so on and so forth, and enter into that temporary dwelling. In other words, be a person that realizes that this world is temporary. Shekol inyanim shel olam hazeh hayroi mitfeil mamish. Say midiras keva lech lecha lech tech acherai. Like Hashem Shbach said about us that through the Navi Yirmiyah that we went after him into the midbar. We were prepared to leave everything to go after Hashem in the desert. You know, in the old days, and we try now shul a little bit. We arranged it so that shalashudas, that the lights are out, or at least there's just one little light so the guy doesn't trip with a herring or something. But mostly it's dark shalashudas. Then there was always an inyan. There was always an inyan to have shalashudas davke in the dark. Well, mostly it was because the candles were all out, and it was for practical reasons. But there's an inyan davke to eat shalashudas in the dark. And it's because the inyan of shalashudas is a bechina of ki'eshav b'choshech Hashem orli. Even though I'm living, I'm dwelling in darkness, Hashem is my light. Sha'oz Hashem meyer lanu. What does that mean? It means that at that time of shalashudas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meyer lanu. Through Yaakov Avinu, Hashem is our light, which means ha'givaldige chashkus sha'olam hazeh. What does it mean? This whole world that we're in is a gevaldige chashkus, is such a darkness. The things that are stupid in this world are important, and the things that are important in this world are made into things that are silly, that are not important. So when a person sits shalashudas that time of the week, it's so important, it's so precious, because it's a bechina of ki'eshav b'choshech Hashem orli. That means that it shows me that what's important in my life, because otherwise this world is so dark, and the only thing that's important is Hashem orli. That's the inyan of achas sha'alti, the whole month of Elul. And going into Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, what does it mean, achas sha'alti? It's all to be able to achieve that feeling of achas sha'alti. Of achas sha'alti, of what's most important to me in my life. When it, you know, I've seen sometimes, I had a call, I was talking to somebody this week. There's a very, very fine woman from our area that has a child that has very bad learning disabilities, very serious learning disabilities. And there was a meeting, there was some sort of a meeting that took place. She was so upset, it was hard for me to, over the phone, to calm her down. There was a meeting that took place, and basically there isn't any yeshiva in our area that's prepared to deal with the child. All the doors have been closed. She tried all the yeshivas. Well, there was one that she didn't, so I don't know what happened. I told her to talk to them. But pretty much the doors of the yeshivas were being closed. And you know something? I tried to explain. So she was very angry. I tried to explain to her that, you know, there are serious problems, and unfortunately the yeshiva is not equipped. We don't have yet some of the means of dealing with this particular inyan that your child has, and the yeshivas don't want, God forbid, to give you the impression that your child needs special help. But the bottom line is that the only school in the area that has the means of dealing with her child is the public school, which has a very, very advanced, you know, resource rooms and all this stuff. And they told her that maybe for a year or two, you know, your son's going to have to go to public school. Now, this is a woman that would be, if you would see her, you'd meet her, you would say, you would think that she's not so medakdekis in every halach and every mitzvah, if you would see her. But if you would hear her crying and carrying on and howling about, she said that my son is not going to be in a place where they're talking about Christmas. My son is not going to be in a place where he can't say a bracha. And I said, Gerald, me come here. So I was thinking, you know, you would never think that she would, like, the husband's already like, look, what are we going to do? She's ready, like, to, she's going to go and kill every principal in our neighborhood. And, you know, she'll get him in. She'll get him in because I wouldn't get in her way. She'll get him in because it's achashalti. She's an achashalti person. Because she says, I'm not going to be mevater. You know, I might not wear the best skirts in the world. She'll tell you. I might not cover my hair this way or that way. But my son's going to be a Jew. My son is going to be a Jew. He's going to say brachas. He's going to wear a yarmulke. He's going to wear tzitzis. And he's going to be a Jew. It's achashalti. And sometimes you only know that when chalila, somebody's trying to take it away from us. And then we're ready to let go of all of our little homes that we've made for ourselves, all of our batim, and to say, just that my child should be good, should be a good Jew. All these things are silly to me. They don't matter anymore to me. It's sad, but the tev of a person is that only b'shas etzias and neshama, when you feel that chalil, that you're leaving, that it's being taken from you, that your neshama is being taken from you, then you fight so hard for the achash alti. Every single week, shalashudas, we taste a little bit of that. And because of that, we're able on shalashudas to make hachlotas, decisions for the week. Every shalashudas is a little bit like a ne'ilah. And to make hachlotas, decisions, and kabbalas, to try to make the week different, because then we see things in a clear way. It's also true, lo aleinu, when a person loses somebody in the family, and it says in Pasuk, which we're gonna learn in a few days, it says v'chayitin alibo. What's the meaning of all that we do when it comes to the halachas of avelus of mourning? V'chayitin alibo. Let those who are alive take it to heart. What does it mean? Take what to heart? Take to heart that it's not forever. This world, we're not here forever. It's a short trip. V'chayitin alibo. So therefore you see that sometimes a person who is involved in so much narishkeit, so much silliness and smallness, but at a time when, the God forbid, they lose someone, and they're shocked into that reality, then they get that little flight on that plane that we were learning about last week, where they see things, and they see their lives from a new perspective about how, and they see how a lot of the things that I thought was so big when I was down below on the earth, I see that the mamish, you know, it's silly. I built a whole binyan. I made a whole building out of something which was unimportant. So he says that happens every shoulder shooters. Shemirama, page kufchaf. Shemirama umafate. This world is tricking us. This world is tricking us. As dvarm tfeilim zen an apis. He says, there's an epis, fa'nemen aplats. The world tricks us that what? That silly things we take seriously, that they look like they're something. And what? And they take up a place in our minds and our hearts. We understand Shalus Hashem early, what's important, what's not important. Which he says later on, if you think about it, like 50 years from now, really, who's going to care whether your invitation was like this or like that? Who's 50 years? I mean, 50 minutes. Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, who's going to care? Like, who cares? The whole thing, or Yizmiris, like this or like that. Well, who cares? Who's going to care? Who's going to remember? Who cares? What difference does it make? And how much kaychas and nefesh going into what? To what? For who? Where? Who's going to even think about it? Someone's going to say in a hesped, and my mother, she had the thickest invitation on the block. It was two stamps. Who cares? Like, who thinks about it? Who b'chlau cares? It's like a shigayin that we get caught up in, and we build these little homes of what's important, and it's altogether it's altogether crazy. Or somebody said something about you that's not nice. I know, who cares? What's the nafki minute? 10 minutes from now. What's the nafki minute? What difference does it make? To who? What? Unless you did something wrong. Then it has to be corrected. But if you did what was right and someone said something, so what? So everybody's going to think, this one's going to think that, one's going to think, come on. Yeah. What difference is it going to make anyway? What's going to make a difference, Bechlau? But we don't think like that. Of course, we lose our minds. Listen, the vision of the Holy Vision, he once davened to Hashem, he said like this, which was big. The vision said, I'm ready to forego all my Olam Haza, this world, and all my Olam Haba. For what? So that the Baruch Shalom should show Jews, Sheneida Vastutzach mit uns. What this means is that the Baruch Shalom should show Yidden what's happening with us, what's going on with us. What does it mean? What's going on? What does it mean when a Jew says a bracha? Show us what it accomplishes when we make a bracha. Show us what does it accomplish when we say a nice word to a friend. Show us what does it accomplish when we daven a little bit, when we learn a little bit. Show us what it means, what it happens. What happens? The Archaim HaKadosh said that if the Baruch Shalom would open up Shemaim and we would see what a mitzvah is, he says that we would trample each other to try to do mitzvahs. We would kill each other to do mitzvahs. If we would see what a mitzvah is. So the vision was davening, he says that we shouldn't have us tutzach mit uns. Und was ist unser Tachlis? I would give up my whole world, this world and the next, the vision has said, Hashem, if only you'll show Jews what's the tachlis. Well, Zemavakshim, and that's what we daven for every single day, and it would be good to think about this, especially before Tisha B'Av. That's what we're davening for every single day. Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toyer. This is what the vision has said. Rabbi Shalom, shine a new light on Tzion. What does that mean for us? Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toyer. Tatamach lichtig. Or Chodesh, Rabbi Shalom, give me a new way to look at life. Give me a new way to look at what's important, what's not important. Give me a new way to appreciate the people who I love. Give me a new way to appreciate what you've given to me and to see what's not important. That's what it means. That's a tefillah. Tatamach lichtig. That's what the vision is screaming at. Tatamach lichtig. You know how the B'ditchver learned Pshat in the beginning of Chumash? That Vayomalakim, so it was dark, and Vayomalakim Hiyor Vahiyor. So in English it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. But that's not how the B'dit Shiva used to learn. The B'dit Shiva said like this, Vayomer, a Yid says, Elokim, Rabban Shalom, Yihiyor Zayin Lichtig. Please let there be light. Please let me see what's important. Vahiyor. And it was lichtig. It's a nice way to learn Chumash. If the children will learn Chumash this way, it would be taka lichtig. Vayomer, he has to say, Elokim, Rabban Shalom, Yihiyor. It should be lichtig in our lives. And then if you daven hard enough, Vayihiyor, it'll be lichtig. You'll know what's real. It'll be lichtig. But that's what the vision said. If we know what's lichtig, if we know what's important, that's what's lichtig. The shalosh shuras meyer zehaor, and every shalosh shuras, this is mamish shalosh taka lichtig. Well, k'moishan nisham lefnei sheyeri lezahaylam mekabel ha'arish alech l'chom yatzor. And just like we learned last week from the Zohar Kaddish, that before the neshama comes into the world, when the neshama comes into the world, Hashem says lech l'chom yatzor. That the Baruch Shalom tells the neshama lech l'chom yatzor malach mabes avicha el haritz sharekah. Hashem is brought tells the neshama like Avraham Avinu was told. That Hashem tells the neshama, listen, neshama, I want you to remember when you're in the world, in that world below, don't get stuck, don't make for yourself a permanent dwelling place in that world. The world is a place that you're passing through, like we learned last week at the Chofetz Chaim. There's a chamagid, right, the furnishing in his house. Don't get stuck in the world. Don't get caught up too much. Don't take it so seriously. That's why right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Hashem gives us the light of Yaakov, which is Sukkos, because Sukkos helps us to see that clearly, to leave your permanent dwelling and to go into that, into a temporary dwelling, to see that this world is a temporary dwelling. Every single shul shudus, so there's a little bit longer. So let's look in the ayin zayin, in the Hebrew down below, in ayin zayin. Ma keva ma aroi. That every single shul shudus, a person is able to see what's keva, what's really, what are those things in life that should be fixed in my life, that should be permanent in my life, and what are those things in my life that should be temporary and passing. Tzadikim amru, sha'olam hu, I mentioned this last week. Tzadikim amru, sha'olam hu olam mu'ar v'nifla. The tzadikim, unlike what many people think that the tzadikim, or that the Torah teaches that this world is horrible, is disgusting, and you know, like the, especially I have found that a lot of the kids that get these speeches in school, especially when they're in Eretz Yisrael, about the gashmius is disgusting, all the gashmius is disgusting. Well, and I always wonder what all these anti-Gashmius people are. You know, how some of them they might live talk in such a way. A lot of them would be very, very happy with a little bit more Gashmius in their lives. The ones who are making all the speeches about the anti-Gashmius talks. Or I heard somebody that gave a whole drush for making fun of a certain area, the Jews from a certain area from New York, that they're Megushamim, Gashmius. But Tzaddikim don't look down on this world. The Baruch Shalom made a beautiful world. The world is so beautiful, but there's a tnai, there's a condition. That's what we learned last week, and he says here that what? Sha'olam ha'olam mu'ar v'nifla. The world is taka mu'ar v'nifla. Lichtig and wonderful. L'misha nimtza mibachutz. That's the tnai. If you're not in the world too much, if you're a little bit, if you're outside. Sha'omed mi'alav, which means if you're in the airplane, you're above it. You're above it. And it's true. You know, when you're in an airplane, even when you're passing over the worst neighborhood, it doesn't look bad. When you're in the airplane, everything looks pretty nice. When you look at things from that perspective, when you look at things from that way, that's the way that the tzaddikim see other Jews. Because they don't feel like personally caught up and stuck and insulted and hurt and all these games and these nyanim that go on. And a real tzaddik is above that. He's above that. The real tzaddik cares only what's best for that Jew. And that's why the tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, that we were zeichet to have, true tzaddikim, Rav Moshe, and Rav Yankiv, and the Kloizenberg, and the Satan, and the Lubavitch, these big, big, big people, that they mamish saw and only what's right for the Jew, and what's best for the Jew. You have some people that they might be very smart and know how to learn, but their cheshmah is what's best for me and my yeshiva, not what's best for the boys or for the girls, and so on and so on. To be able to see from that higher place, to be able to know what's right for each Jew, not to get caught up in kleinigkeit and smallness and narishkeit. He says, so the world is a beautiful place, but only for the people who are not stuck in it. It's a dark world. If you're buried in the world, if you're stuck in the world, it's dark, you're very dark. It's very dark. And the Ovis taught us, and they gave us the ability to lift ourselves up. The Lotzeis Achutz Melam, like we learned last week, right? Avraham Avinu, Hashem took him above the stars. That's what it means to be a big person. Hashem took Avraham Avinu above the stars, above. And when you're looking at the world from that perspective, and when you're looking at your friends, at your husband, at your wife, at your children, from that place, it's such a beautiful world. It's such a beautiful world. The third meal, the Baruch Shalom gives us this koyach by Shol HaShudas more than any, all the time, but especially Shol HaShudas, because that's Yaakov Avinu, that's Sukkos. That every neshama can mamish rise above all of these things. And the neshama can feel its true will, its true desire. It's a tshuka, the achash alti. It's a tshuka amitishala. Kolzem is galbe raiv deraiv. A person doesn't have to wait till, God forbid, they're telling you that your kid has to go to public school. So as soon as you could feel the importance of your kid being in yeshiva while he's in yeshiva. You could feel the importance of your child being a ben Torah, a bas Torah. Shalashudas, you could feel the importance of a husband learning, the importance of yourself growing and learning and davening at that time of the week, and more so than any other time of the week, because the other times of the week, the neshama is much quieter and the guf, the permanent dwelling, is unfortunately very strong. But when the neshama is leaving, Shabbos, late afternoon, the neshama is leaving, so you, when the neshama is leaving, you know, you let go of this world. You let go, you're not holding on, so, you know, so everything's not so important anymore. That's what it means. That's why the time of Shal Teshuvah is called Raiva Deraivin. Raiva Deraivin, which means will of will. It means the deepest will, the deepest desire, Raiva Deraivin. Because Shal Teshuvah, a person is able to come to that higher place to know what I really want in my life. Like this woman is saying, what I really want is that my child should say Shema Yisrael and should be an Elohim. Which she might not say that if you would meet her, you know, at the country club. You know, or you'd meet her someplace else, but when she feels that the neshama is being taken from her, chas v'shalom, when her child is being taken, God forbid, his Yiddishkeit, so then she screams out. She says, "There's nothing. I'll do anything. I'm not going to let my kid go to public school. Shema yifanat. I make a melchama." That, because it's raiva deraivin. Because it's the rotzen of Ritzayinus, and if we could live with that every day. With Ne'ila, that's how the tzaddikim live, which is beyond our understanding. You could live with it every single day. Isn't it true that after Ne'ila, everybody feels it when you come home after, whew, wow, that was intense. That whole time, especially in yeshiva, the whole thing, and there's a certain feeling like, oh boy, get a little bit back to, you know, a different, you know, the an easier way of thinking and living and so on and so forth. We don't know what it means that the tzaddikim live in Ne'ila every single minute of their lives. And the Ne'ila from today is a greater Ne'ila than yesterday. Every single day is that. And Shal Teshuvah is a taste of that. It's a little bit of a taste of that. Let's continue in the left-hand column, four lines down on the left column, in Kufchav. It says, Kevin Sheshavas Vay of the Nefesh. So everybody knows, Shavas Vayinofash, Chazal say, what does it mean, Vayinofash? That when Shabbos is leaving, Vay of the Nefesh, Gevald Vay, oy, 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 my Nefesh, my extra dimension or ability to know the truth is slipping away when Shabbos slips away. Isa Mirab Shlomo Leib Lenchner, he says what? From other tzaddikim, the zeh haylech al sholosh sudas. That feeling of vay of the nefesh, oy oy oy, my nefesh, my soul is leaving, is sholosh sudas. Shas ikah Shabbos kodesh was soikim vay of the nefesh. Look down ayin ches. Aha, and the shomer shli nimtzes begolus. Vay of the nefesh doesn't mean I'm dying. This doesn't mean I'm dying. With God's help, we'll be fine. But vay of the nefesh means I have to go back into the week. And when you're in the week, the 6 days of the week, it's galus. Shabbos is a little bit of Mashiach. Shabbos is a little bit of a taste of what's real. So when you're going to the 6 days of the week, it's going into galus. And the shomer shli nimtzes begalus. L'heichan ani mizdarder. Gevald, what's going to be with me during this week? Where am I going to fall to? What am I going to get? Where am I going to wander? Abba. Therefore, Jew has to call out Abba, Father. Haytziya mimazge nafshi. Please, Hashem, take my soul out of its imprisonment, out of all that's holding it back, that I should be able during the 6 days of the week to live with the truth of Shabbos, to live with the truth of Shal Teshuvah. Yehudi yochel lefar to lefar yom echad. Vazira kamapamim meshach hayom, and he hitrati v'esakti samer shali, as a leib shali, as a zman shali, v'shtuyas am kitnes. He said, if a person would stop and would analyze any day of the week, just stop on a Tuesday night, on a Monday night, and analyze that day, and take it apart moment by moment, he would see, well, there's so much silliness, so much tussin. The Eish Kodesh, the Pizetzin of the Tzaddik, he said that if a person really, really would look over back over the day, on a typical day, he would be very different, he wouldn't be much different from a total meshugan. He would look like a crazy person, like people they lock up. And not only that, he says, but that's even the things that we do. But he says, and could you imagine if the Baruch Shalom would allow us to carry out the things that we think of during the day, what it would look like? He said, then for sure they would lock us up. What you think about during the day, all the shigoyness, the narishkeit, and they go through a person's head. Well, you know, everything looks okay. How are you? Fine, nice. But in the head of a person, if you'd open it up in one day, how much narishkeit? So the Pizessin said that if God forbid a person could carry out what he's thinking about, he wouldn't look any different than a total lunatic. He would look like a mishigoy that they lock up in a base mishigoy. If we would do what we're thinking about, if a person, someone says, oh, how are you? Fine. How? And the person's thinking, you know, he did this and he did that. Can you imagine all of a sudden, like there'd be these monsters, like in some sort of cartoon. And what you're thinking about, like, would somehow be visualized. We wouldn't be locked up. They'd take us away.
They have movies like that.
You never took me to that movie. But if a person's machshavas, the Piazza said that the machshavas would be visualized, would be somehow actualized, we wouldn't be in it. He says, what's the Meshigana? What's the definition? He does what he's thinking about. That's the Meshigana. Oh, but as far as the thinking, we're very similar. It's the only chiluk is that the Meshigana has the gall and the craziness. That's what he's missing. He tries to do it. It happened more than once. I'm a little embarrassed. Well, no. It happened more than once to make a point. No, it doesn't. Nothing. Other than the fact that her husband makes a fool of himself. But, you know, sometimes, like, I think I'm by myself in the shul. You know, like, and then I'll be like singing something or calling out something or like some goofy thing. And then, you know, like there was some balabas that was right there and I didn't see. And then you don't know how to recover that. Like how to get back. And, you know, and he looks and he says, no, that's okay, man. Like I do stuff, you know, we all do stuff like that. I remember it happened, when we were still in the little shul. You know, I grew up in New York and as boys, we were very much into sports. Very much into sports. Baruch Hashem, I outgrew that completely. But we were very much into it. And it took a long time to outgrow it. I was by myself in shul upstairs once, in the old shul. And I came out from the bathroom, I washed my hands, and I had a paper towel. And I rolled up the paper towel. And for some reason, like when I was like 12 years old, like I started to say, like, you know, like I was taking a shot, you know. And I made believe like I was a reporter on the television, on the radio, and that so-and-so is taking a shot from the corner, just with a paper ball, you know, into the garbage can. Boys do stuff like that. Okay. So, but it was silly for a 45-year-old, you know, to do that. But, okay, I was having a good time. And I didn't see it right behind me, like this is a chashuv person, you know, came to see me. You don't know what to do. You feel like, you know, it's such an Irish kite that a person goes into, if you would think, what is the Irish kite that a Michigan carries out the Irish kite? It could be that there's nothing wrong. Nobody would know that Weinberg is thinking from 20 feet out, Weinberg, a jump shot hits, you know. Nobody would have known, because I'm saying to somebody, Shalom Aleichem, oh, Harav so-and-so was smacht. But really I'm thinking, Weinberg takes a jump shot from him. But what happens if they would, like, put that into reality? Oh, Mishagayim. Mamish Mishagayim. Unless it's just me, I don't know, I mean, maybe. But Mishagayim Mamish, like crazy things, all kinds of crazy things. In the course of a day. Okay, after footnote, back on top, after Ayin Ches, Bisfasemes, which says Beis Shin Pei Aleph. It's like the middle of that, almost, yeah. Bisfasemes, after Ayin Ches, Bisfasemes, Chusayin, Vari Kasad, Vishol Shudas, Shal Shabbos Kaddish, Mi'im HaKreches, Shal Shimi Bas, Ru'i, V'hatiyah, Iznech, like Hashem told Avraham Avinu, to look, to pay attention, to listen, to see the truth. V'shikh Yameichu, Beis Ravich, Zeh Bishol Shudas. That happens during Shal Shudas. Sha'oz Mesugul, look at Ayin Ches on the bottom. V'agbiyas Atzmein, L'hesnatei. During Shal Shudas, a person can cut himself away, can take himself away. Can break away. The new week that's coming up. And that's not only for men. That's for women also. Shanasa Barakis, Rotzna Vinish Bashmaim, that during this coming week, that we should be able to do just Rotzna Vinish Bashmaim, Bishlemis Bechalan Yonim. And Avram Avinu back on top. Avram Avinu, Elavshalom, Bishosh, Rara, Emach, Sheikh, Gdoim, and Fellows Olaf. When Avram Avinu, when the darkness came upon Avram Avinu, right, by the Bris, when he had the vision of the Bris, when Abbasarim, of the covenant. So Avram Avinu was, it says, Sheikh, Emach, Sheikh, a great darkness fell upon him. She says, Reimaz, Akola, Hashka, Shalom, Hazel. What does it mean? It means life in this world. Everything Avram Avinu went through, we go through. You remember that the Baruch Shalom told him, that's what we spoke about a little bit last week, the Baruch Shalom told him that your children are going to be strangers. They're not going to be comfortable in this world. So what kind of a reassurance is that? This is the scariest moment in his life. Right? The scariest moment in Avinu's life. Eimach, Hashecha, Gedolah, Nefelos Olav. And according to Chazal, it was talking about the four kingdoms, right? Eimach, Hashecha, Gedolah. It was the four kingdoms and Golis and all Tsaris. And Avinu's, so you think that Hashem's broken, has said, everything's going to be okay. Hashem told him, Ger Yezarecha. Your children, don't worry, your children are going to be Gerim in this world. Gerim means what? They're going to be strangers. They're not going to take it so seriously. They're not going to get permanently stuck in this world, because if we did, we wouldn't be alive anymore, Chas v'Shalom. Because Hashem was telling him an Eitzah. When Hashem told him, Ki Ger Yezarecha, Hashem was giving him advice. Hashem was telling him, listen, Rabbi Avram, tell your children, they're going to have to go through darkness, they're going to go through tsars, but so that they live, and that they'll survive, and that they'll be able to do what they have to do in the world of darkness down below, give them this Eitzah, that they should be Gerim in the world. They should live in sukkahs, not in homes. And they should know that the ikr is that your kid is saying Shema Yisrael. The ikr is that you're a Jew. The ikr is that you have a neshama. And you know, and we'll talk about this more in Mitzvah Shem 2 weeks from now, that the Rebbe of Nosson Breslov, he said from his Rebbe, Rebbe Nachman's Chusagel, he said that a person can always be Mesamech himself, no matter how bad things are, if you think deeply enough about how you're Jewish. Just, Al Simchas Yahadusi, he says, on the Simch of being a Yid. He says, no matter what you're going through, if you focus on that, on that you're a Jew, and the Ata Bechatanu, and the Simcha of just being a Yid, without anything else, without money, God forbid, without a marriage, without chulil, without children, without mazel, God forbid, just on the simcha of being a Yid. He says it's a guarantee that if you misboinein, that if you think deeply enough in that gift, that you'll come to simcha, that you feel a tremendous joy. And that's what it means that Hashem told Avinu an Eitzah for his children, that they should be Gerim. And then it becomes lichtig, because the neshama is what makes it lichtig. And now he begins to give us advice, specific advice. There are two areas of life that we have to work on. Page Kuf Chaf Aleph. Two areas of life that when we work on these two areas, more than anything else, it helps us to look at things from up above in a different way. Now they're very, very general areas, but we're going to see how we could apply these two areas in life to achieving this different hashkafa, and as a result of this hashkafa, to be able to experience much, much more simcha in life, much, much more joy. So he says, "Menishtavel adav mechazal mitzadikim." Afterwards, when he talks about simcha, the shleishin im shechem, he said, "Ech efshal yehudi lestavel lesalz b'ze gesed ezechem hecher and hecher unleben mitem emes." He said, "We're going to talk about three things. The two are aces, and the third is really the result. We'll see." He says, number one, Shtei Heilige Matanis, two holy gifts. Shtei Heilige Matanis, Shevinu Shabashmayim Nosan Lanu, two of the holiest gifts that Hashem has given the Jewish people, is Koyach HaTorah HaKadosha, the Koyach HaTehillah. Learning and davening. Koyach HaTorah HaKadosha, the Koyach HaTehillah. Misayim Lanu Harbe Lahagiyah Lazeh. They help us a tremendous amount to come to this. So let's first talk about learning Torah. And again, remember that he was speaking to men, and men who are mostly are learning in Kar, living in Bismedrish, and even if they're working, but people who are in Bismedrish for an hour or two a day. But In our times, Baruch Hashem, women have much greater access to learning than ever in the past. And as a result of that, in many, many ways, even though, of course, their responsibilities, especially if there are small children, their responsibilities are so great, still, their women have access nowadays to learning, even if it means chapping and stealing a few minutes. Women have access to Torah where our grandmothers and great-grandmothers really didn't. They really didn't have the bracha that we have of learning. And all the years that most of you have learned, and how much all of you have learned, that your mothers and grandmothers, our mothers and grandmothers, never ever had such an opportunity like we have now, and our daughters, but they have an opportunity to learn. It's the first time in history that there's been such an opportunity for them to learn in such a way. And even someone who is busy with children, it's very, very important, as we're going to talk about, to try every single day a few minutes. Every single day. I'm not saying on anybody else's cheshbon. I'm not saying on the cheshbon of anybody eating or going to school or being changed or bathed. I'm not saying that, because I once spoke 20 years ago about how important it is for women to learn, and I got a mishaberech from someone but good. Like, what do you mean? What are men supposed to do? And I tried to explain. I wasn't talking about starting a women's kail someplace. I just said for 10 minutes to try to learn that every single Jewish woman should have a learning project in her life. Should have a learning project. This ain't a daima a woman. Baruch Hashem, like always, I'm preaching to the converted because you're all going to shiurim. But the women who are not going to shiurim, and especially during the summer, when women have an opportunity to have Baruch Hashem here, where we are, that in the mountains, that there's an opportunity to have a little bit of Yishuv Hadas. Isn't it a shame if there's a woman that spends all of the free time, or so much of the free time that she's here, running to Middletown, or running to, what's the other place further?
Woodbury
Commons. Isn't it a shame, the whole year, Nabuch, you're running back and forth with the Peklech. The whole year. You have time. Gewalt, what an opportunity. I mean, I'm talking to the wrong people, because you're obviously doing that. But try to be mechazik the ones who are not. It's chaval neshama. Chaval neshama that someone's itching to spend. It's not a question of what you have or what you don't have, or you should get this, you don't need this. You have a little bit, you have a couple of weeks of the whole year. Where Baruch Hashem, you have Yishuv Hadas, it's quiet, and you could think a little bit. You could there's a million Svarim Baruch Hashem in English. A little bit. I'm not saying that you have to be a Talmid HaChacham. I'm not from the new school. I'm not from that whole thing. But for yourselves to enjoy and to grow and to see, because he explains to you. Sof kol sof, the bottom line is, and that's really, this is going to be a little bit of a painful page. Again, not for you, but it's going to be painful when you think about how there are those who are missing this opportunity. Because when you think about how it's so easy to forget, if a person's not learning Torah, that many of you went to yeshiva, you went to seminaries and so on, and you were learning, and the years go by, and if a person's not learning big things, it's very easy to be small. It's very easy to become small. And Torah makes you big. Torah makes you into a big person. Torah lifts you up. Torah shows you what's important in life. That's why it's called Torah. Torah means lahayreis. It means to show you. It teaches you. And if you're not learning, that's why. You know what a good thing it is? I've seen this so many times. When you have a woman that, let's say, she gets into partners in Torah. They have a beautiful program. You get it like a chavrus over the phone. You know what I'm saying? So you learn with somebody. So for the first time in 15, 20 years, this woman starts to look to prepare the malbim and this and that, and she wants to say something nice over the phone to this person who's not religious, to give a good vart, to say everything. The whole life becomes lichtig. You become a teacher. One of the best things about being a teacher is that you're learning all the time. And you're learning, and when you're learning, you have to give over to Yiddish Kinder. So you're involved in that lichtigkeit of Torah. And the bigness of Torah. If not, God forbid, you could descend and to become just a person that's going back and forth from stores, back and forth, and you see yourself, who am I? What am I? What do I do? What do I spend most of my life? So even if you have to 120, so the Baruch Shalom says, okay, I understand you were very, very busy, but I gave you like 20 summers in the country. Maybe 20 summers of Kaddish. What were you doing 20 summers of Kaddish? Frequent flyer. Back and forth. Yeah, sometimes there's not, and if there's not enough shopping in the country, I'm going to go back to the city. I'm not saying to visit. That's for sure, to visit a parent, to visit someone, you know, to do a mitzvah, to go to a simcha, a lower lane or something else, for sure. But there are people who go make a whole, will take 12 hours, a chveis for us, all kinds of things, and just to be able to go to a store to see something. Or a person will be mafkir the children, hours upon hours, leaving with girls, with kids, because they have to go to see and to go. And I spoke about this a little bit last week somewhere, and I don't mean to say chas v'chalil, that I, again, I'm not the type that doesn't forget. You could ask my wife. I'm not hard knees and yawning. And, well, it's easy, we don't have much money, so it's not a big deal anyway. But it's not like I don't forget, and I feel it's nice. Hashem Shemesh wants his daughters to have a good time, and to go and to enjoy, and to get a new outfit, and to buy something new, and to go to a sale. That the Baruch Shalom loves his children to enjoy. But to leave sometimes kids that even after camp, the mothers are gone, and they come back at night with peklach, and they went and they found something so mechveis, a hamtzah, and you have once in the whole year where you could put your kids to sleep and say hashkiveinu, avinu l'sholom, you can look at a kriyishma with a little child, and the child could feel that your mamish is there. The child feels that you're there. So even in the summer, to make the whole bilbulim to go, but you're not going to get that. You don't think you're going to find that mitzia in September. You don't think you're going to find it in December. You'll get the mitzia. And you know something? At what taket, what happens taket if you miss out and it costs you another $10? It's not worth it to be able to stay put and to open up the sefer and to be in the same place with your children and that they know that you're there. Again, I'm not talking to anybody that's no geyer to, but I'm just saying that this is an inyan, this is a machlo. But a person that's not learning can slip into such silliness and smallness that I'm not talking about shopping because you need something. Of course, a person has to go shopping if he needs something. You go shopping, but when shopping itself becomes a need, so what the Rosh Hashanah, he put us in the world for that. Shopping itself, there's a need to shop. And if a person doesn't go shopping for a week or two, it's like something is wrong. So now they could do it online. You could go to a computer. But that's not the same. It's not the same. It's much more fun to go. And okay. But when it becomes, and if you need that, that's something that's not good. It means that smallness, to need that. It's nice for fun to go. If you need something, you have to go. Once in a while for fun. But if it becomes a need, that the things that in life that are important become less important, and this becomes more important, then what happened to us? So what we're going to learn, it's already late, and what we're going to start with really next time, is we're going to learn that really, only when a person is connected to learning, that's why it's so important every day that every single one of us should have a learning project. A small thing. But when a person is connected to learning, so then the day is a different day. We're going to see that Torah every single day helps us to feel a little bit Shalashudas dik, a little bit Sukkas dik, a little Yaakov Avinu dik, to feel, to see what's chashiv, what's important, and to know what's important in life, and what the tachlis is in life, and to remember what's not important.